In this lecture, we will speak about the month of Adar, the happy month, the last month of the year, Nisan being the first, Adar is the last. It's a happy month for many reasons, and I'd like to discuss a very profound one, which has to do with the very nature of the existence of the Jewish people. The Jewish people in Gola, in diaspora, in exile, and the Jewish people in their own land. Harav Kook, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, way back, close to 100 years ago, would publish a short one or two line phrase describing the essence of each month. And he would publish this in a various journal, and the little sayings are collected in a volume called Kovatz Horia. For the month of Adar, 1914, he has the following motto for the month of Adar. Hamazkirim Krachim Umukofim Mimos Yehoshua bin Nun, those who remember the cities and the walled cities from the days of Joshua, of Yehoshua bin Nun, Lo Yuchlu Lehishoer Avdei Achashverosh, cannot remain slaves to Achashverosh. By this he means that, as you know, we read the Megillah in New York City, in London, in Los Angeles, in Melbourne, in Tel Aviv, on the 14th of Adar. But in a walled city, a city which was walled from the times, the ancient times of Yahushua, we read the Megillah on the 15th of Adar. Why from the times of Yahushua? Various reasons are given, but one is in order to attach the reading of the Megillah to the land of Israel, which was conquered and settled by Yahushua. And those people who remember this halacha, remember to trace back our connection on this Purim, just barely 2 weeks away, all the way back to the beginnings of our history in the land of Israel. Lo yuchlu lehishoer avdei Achashverosh, cannot remain the slaves, the servants of Achashverosh. The Jewish people, for thousands of years, have lived in the Gola, in Golos, in exile. And in that process, we have had to adjust, and it is only right that we learned to adjust. But we must always remember that our existence in exile was and remains a diminished existence, a partial existence, in a way, a distorted existence. The theme of Galus appears very early on in the book of Esther, when Mordechai is introduced as one of the heroes of the story. He is introduced as Ish Yehudi, as a Jewish man, Asher Hoglo Mirushalayim, who was exiled from Jerusalem, Im HaGola Asher Hogloso, with the exile that was exiled, together with Yechonya, the king of Judah, Asher Hegla Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel, who was exiled by Nebuchadnezzar. As you listen to the introduction of this man, Mordechai, you immediately hear, not once, not twice, but three and then four times, in the space of a few words, the word galus, exile, exile, exiled, exile, again and again. This is the condition of the story of the Jewish people in Shushan in the time of Ahasuerus. Purim cannot escape the theme of exile. And the month of Adar, which is a happy month, Mishanichnas Adar Marbin Besimcha, as you enter the month of Adar, you increase the level of joy, but nonetheless, in the background of our joy is the fact that we are and we remain in exile. Certainly those of us who do not live in the land of Israel. What does it mean to be in exile? And here I would like to turn to a very, very important book, which I suggest that all of you read, and that is the book called The 19 Letters. The 19 Letters written by Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch. And I recommend to you The 19 Letters in the Feldheim edition, translated with a comprehensive commentary by Joseph Elias. And the 16th of the 19th letter deals with the experience of the Jewish people in the diaspora, in nations ruled by non-Jews. And he writes, "When Israel, when the Jewish people began its great pilgrimage through the ages and nations, Yirmiyahu, the prophet Jeremiah, proclaimed its duty to," and then he quotes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, "build houses and dwell therein, plant gardens and eat their fruit, take wives unto yourselves and beget sons and daughters. And take wives for your sons, and give your daughters in marriage, that they bear sons and daughters, that you multiply there and diminish not. And seek the peace of the city whither I have exiled you, and pray for it to the Lord, for in its peace there will be peace unto you." So Yirmiyahu gives us the prescription for life in exile. Do your best. Build houses, live there, make sure to have families, make sure to reproduce, to have children, and ally yourself with the peace of the city. Ally yourself as much as possible with the government so that they protect you. And this is the condition of Golus, to be dependent, to be reliant, to do your best, to adjust, to cope. Notice, not to thrive, not to grow, not to succeed, not to excel, but to get by. Rav Hirsch, in that same letter, goes on to say that he blesses emancipation, he blesses the freedom that Jewish people were able to begin to achieve in his time in the countries of Europe, the nations of Europe. He blesses it, quote, "when I see how inordinate oppression has isolated Yisrael from the mainstream of life, has stunted its spiritual development, has inhibited the free unfolding of its noble character." In other words, in exile, we have suffered from positive growth, from spiritual development, from realizing our nobility and our majesty. Because by just coping, just getting by, and relying upon powers greater than us, human powers, we cannot grow to what he calls nobility. And he hopes and prays and believes that emancipation, freedom, the right to vote, equality in exile will somehow bring about that nobility. This is the opinion of a great, great man in Jewish history, Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch. However, Soon after Rabbi Hirsch passed away in Frankfurt, Germany, toward the end of the 19th century, another great Jewish leader arose on the Jewish scene. And his name was Rabbi Avrohom Yitzchak HaKohen Kuk. And he too was concerned with the fact that for hundreds, thousands of years, the Jewish people had to live under the dominion of the French and the Germans, the British, and on and on. And therefore had to learn to adjust and to cope and to depend upon powers, political powers. And thereby could not achieve the nobility, the full development of which Rav Hirsch speaks. But he did not believe that emancipation, freedom, democracy, liberty, could help the Jewish people achieve that nobility. He felt that only returning to the land of Israel, only returning to Eretz Yisrael, could bring about that nobility, could free the Jewish people up enough to no longer merely survive and cope and get by, but to thrive and to flourish and to realize their fullest potential as a people. This is a basic difference in point of view between two great Jewish leaders of 100, 150 years ago, Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch versus Rabbi Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kuk. I would like to pursue the line of thinking of Rav Kuk and connect it to the happiness of the month of Adar, to the simcha, to the joy that we are about to begin on this month which approaches us now and which will reach its climax on Purim Day. Rav Kuk, the story goes, once on Purim Day, when he was drinking, and drinking in moderation, drinking some wine, far from drunk, we could not imagine such a pious person drunk, but certainly a bit high in spirits, b'hisromamus horuach, with a kind of expansive mood, on Purim Day, at the Seudas Purim, called out with great enthusiasm the words of Esther Hamalka, the words of Queen Esther, which read, as she said to Achashverosh, pleading with him for the welfare of her people, Eichocha uchal viroisi biovdan moladati. How can I possibly survive the sight of the destruction of my moledet, the destruction of my birthplace, the destruction of my heritage? Rav Kuk said, those words of Esther, that feeling of being absolutely unable to possibly come to terms with the destruction of our homeland, ba'ofdan moladati, Rav Kuk said, Zohi kol ha-Torah kulo. This is the essence of the Torah. Because for Rav Kuk, the essence of the Torah is the land of Israel. Golos is unnatural. Golos is incomplete. Golos is transient and temporary. Exile is not where the action is for the Jewish people. Return to the land, that is. And the, in anticipation of Dan Moladati, of the loss of the land of Israel, Esther was absolutely overwhelmed. And Rav Kuk said that on Purim, in Adar, we have to identify with that point of view. The threat of Ovdan Moladati. We today, in the year that I'm speaking, Tovshin Samach Zayin, it's already the year 2007. Many of us, many of the people listening to this message, live and are fortunate enough to live in the land of Israel. And we all, and I stress the word all, have the opportunity to live there. It is no longer as difficult as it was in Rav Kuk's time, although he made it his business to reach the land of Israel and to live his life there. It is not as difficult at all as it was in the land of Rav Hirsch, who, to my knowledge, never even was able to visit the land of Israel, certainly never lived there. For us, it's easy. And what we are learning from this is that for the Jewish people, as individuals and as a nation, to get beyond just passing grades, to get beyond just a C plus or a B minus, but to really excel, to reach what Rav Hirsch calls nobility, depends upon the Jewish people in the land of Israel. We can accomplish a great deal in the United States, in Europe, in Australia, in South Africa. But whatever we accomplish there, it will be just coping. It will be just surviving. It will not be excelling, thriving, growing to our full potential. And what is our full potential? And here we come to the mitzvah which characterizes the month of Adar. And that is the mitzvah of Shikolim. Indeed, on the Shabbos that we herald the month of Adar, we also read the Parsha of Shikolim, the mitzvah which requires every Jew, rich or poor, to donate a half shekel to a fund. And that fund is used for two purposes. That fund is used for the sacrifices, the daily sacrifices, the korbanos tomid, which must come from public funds. So here are the public funds. And then, because the Jewish people are nitboim v'nosnim, the Jewish people, when they're asked to give, they give big time. So there's almost always a surplus of money beyond the needs of funding the sacrifices in the temple. And the surplus money went for the municipal needs of the city of Yerushalayim, to fix, to build, to glorify the streets, the byways, the marketplaces, the bridges, the roads of Yerushalayim. This was the essence of the mitzvah of Shikolim. Again, mitzvos which are tied deeply to the land of Israel, and especially to the city of Jerusalem. What is the power of this mitzvah of Shikolim? What is it about this donation? We all give charity. We all give donations. What is this about this specific collection, this appeal, which began Be'echod Ba'Adar Mashmiyin Al Hashkolim, on the first day of Adar, we began to announce, okay, it's time to collect these shkolim. What it has to do with is the underlying symbolism of the mitzvah of shkolim. And the underlying symbolism is the Jewish people as a unified nation, as one people, living together in harmony, living together b'achdus, in unity, in mutual cooperation, and not living as our arch enemy Haman, Haman described us. Yeshno am echod mifuzor umeforod bein ha'amim. That we are a people separated and scattered and disunited and spread over all the nations of the world. Our physical condition might indeed be galus, exile, and scattered here, there, everywhere, but the underlying potential is always a Jewish people united together. This is why Mishenichnas Adar Marben Besimcha. This is why Adar is a happy month. Because only where there is friendship and love and harmony and people living cooperatively and in peace with each other can there be simcha. Simcha cannot occur. Joy is impossible in an environment of hatred and envy and discord. Joy, gladness, happiness, simcha is only possible in a context of a people living together in harmony. And if Adar is the month of simcha, of joy, Adar is the month of harmony. And the harmony is symbolized by all Jewish people, of whatever wealth they may be, even if they are in abject poverty and even if they are wealthy beyond belief, contributing equally to one central fund, and that fund is used for the service of God in Yerushalayim and for the maintenance and building of the city of Yerushalayim in a simple physical sense. And here I return to the words of Rav Kook. And they are to be found in a sermon he gave on the Shabbos Parshas Shkolim, the Shabbos heralding the month of Adar, perhaps 120 years ago. And he spoke about shalom, about peace. And he made an interesting distinction, which I think is a powerful one, between the shalom that the Jewish people must experience and the shalom which nations of the world strive for when they look for peace. And he distinguished as follows. The nations of the world seek peace, seek shalom, because shalom for them is a means to an end. Shalom is the way you assure economic prosperity. Shalom is the way you assure the free flow of fuel from the Middle East to the more developed nations. Shalom is the way that you assure free trade between nations, access to foreign markets, access to foreign goods. So shalom is the means to an end. For the Jewish people, shalom is an end in itself. Shalom is a state which must be achieved for its own sake, not because shalom gets you somewhere, not because shalom helps you economically or socially or politically or even mentally, but because shalom is an end in itself. Shalom is our goal. And it is our goal because we can only reach God, really access God, when we are living b'shalom with each other. As Chazal tell us, Emosai shemi nikro aleihem, God says to the Jewish people, when is my name called upon them? When are the Jewish people worthy of my name? Kishehem aguda achas, when they are one group. Shenemar vayehi bishurun melech b'hisaseif rosheyom yachad shiftei Yisrael. When we are yachad, then we are with God. When we are together, and only when we are together. And this is the power of the mitzvah of shkolim. The mitzvah of this simple half dollar or half shekel is that each Jew gives half a shekel to express that alone I am only half. I am incomplete. I am nothing without you. I'm nothing without the other. No individual matters. What matters is the klal, the collective. I give into this collective fund. I give into this central fund. I renounce and abandon my own individual selfish needs, and I unite myself with the community, with the tzibur, with the nation. This is the power of shkolim. What we see from these various remarks of mine is that, to return to the idea of this series of lectures, the idea is my belief, my conviction, that every Jewish month and every Jewish event and every Jewish special day comes along with a certain internal experience, a certain inner attitude, a certain state of mind that we must be in. And during the month of Adar, the happy month, we must have the following two central themes in our inner emotional experience. One theme is the theme of the land of Israel. Purim is a holiday which emphasizes and underscores the condition of the Jew in Golus, the condition of the Jew in the diaspora, and how that condition is an unnatural one, a temporary one, one which allows at best survival, but which does not allow for the full expression of the Jewish nation religiously, spiritually, culturally, even in its Torah achievements. And that's part of Purim. Part of Purim is the Jew living in Shushan, in the distant land, the trials that he and she have to go through, and the fact that in the background always is the dream of return to the land of Israel. And this is an attitude and a belief that has to be part of our Ador experience. Simcha, yes, happiness, yes, but always happiness in contrast to the fact that we are still in exile. And along with that, the second theme. And that is the theme of the importance of each individual seeing himself or herself as part of a klal, as part of a tzibur, understanding that shalom is the ultimate state of the Jewish people. And that the way to shalom is by contributing symbolically through the machtzis hashekel, but in every other way, contributing one's own contributions, whether they be financial, whether they be time, energy, resources, creativity, intellect, whatever we contribute, the realization that we are only machatzis, we are only half of the story, we are only individual people. The full story lies in connecting to that central fund, the central fund which joins together all Jewish people contributing to one central goal. And to the extent that that central goal is a goal of the land of Israel, is a goal of a rebuilt Yerushalayim, to that extent, our shalom is that much stronger. These are the attitudes of the happy month. Not just a time for dancing and singing and jumping up and down. That's not happiness from the Jewish perspective. Happiness from the Jewish perspective is a feeling that I am now in a place where I can thrive and grow and excel and become noble, and that that place is the land of Israel, and that I am only one cog in the wheel, one small prat, one small detail in the bigger picture, the beautiful tapestry, which is the Jewish people living ba'achdus, living in harmony. And through that, we can enter into the happy month of Purim and know that just 2 weeks after the month of Purim begins, comes that day which in many ways is a climax of joy and celebration, and that is the holiday of Purim. I have two additional lectures which I'll be giving over the next day or week, and they are, number one, the downside of a lot of what I've been speaking about, Amalek and evil, and the upside, which is Purim as a holiday of joy and celebration. A Freilicha Adar, a happy month of Adar.